In the Premier League this morning, a big win for Manchester City. And that Premier League title edging ever so closer to it. 5-1, they won at Wolves this morning. Watford and Everton finished scoreless. Leicester beat Norwich 3-0. And Chelsea won at Leeds 3-0 as well. So Leeds in the drop zone on goal difference as it stands, on the same amount of points as Burnley. But Burnley have played a game less. Everton 2 points clear of the drop zone now. In the Scottish Premiership this morning, Celtic confirmed that they've won the title. A 1-1 draw with Dundee United last night. The Sydney Kings won the NBL title. They won 97-88, so they've swept Tasmania in front of a record crowd there at Qdos Bank Arena. And in the boxing last night, Paul Gallen was beaten via a unanimous decision by Victorian Chris Terzievsky in Newcastle. All three judges scored at 97-92. In the main fights on the undercard, Nikita Zhu, he stopped his opponent late in the first round, and Harry Garside won via a seventh round TKO and dedicated the win to his mum, who was diagnosed with breast cancer just last week. Morning, Crawf.
Morning, team. Ready to roll.
Beautiful. Well, now, firstly, Clarkie, tell Crawf about your Saturday night watching Crawf, Essendon Hawthorn.
Mate, I got to tell. Well, firstly, I got a new favourite player, 2 metre Peter. He's my favourite for the Bombers. I'm a massive Bombers fan now. I watched a game with a good mate of mine on Saturday night, and mate, I could not sit down. They were on fire. Five blokes out before the start of the game. I know you'll be devo that the Hawks got done, but mate, how good were they, the Bombers?
Yeah, they were very good. I'm not devo because I told you.
You did. You've liked the Bombers from the start of the season.
Well, I think a lot of people have, but no, I was worried against Hawthorn because they're on their home deck. They're under a lot of pressure, and they pick a running side against Hawthorn. Hawthorn, unfortunately, have fade outs because they've got bigger, stronger bodies, but it's hard to maintain the pressure and also win the footy and go forward and run and carry. So that was always a worry. But then you say 2 metre Peter.
Mate,
the Gold Coast Suns had 2 metre Peter.
How good is he?
And they just didn't give him, well, they just couldn't get him going. Mm. They did give him opportunity, but then, and then Essendon said, hey, no, come to us. And then 2 metre Peter. Pretty hard stopping those big guys, especially as the game goes on. They don't get any smaller, and all they have to do is put their hands up, hopefully get the footy. But most importantly, he can kick fairly well, and that's the key in our game.
Can they beat the Swannies, buddy, on Saturday night?
Oh, they could, but the Swans have been a bit slow at starting. So, as long as they can start well, the Swans, you would be thinking they would win. But, you know, they got their confidence back. But I'll be picking the Swans to get the job done against the Bombers.
Talking about kicking then, Crawf, I actually watched probably the last 20 minutes of that game on Saturday with the Swans. And, mate, their kicking was terrible. I couldn't find anyone. Like, it was going to the ground. And, it was one of the frustrations of watching it against the Gold Coast. They just couldn't find a target.
Yeah, they were off. For some reason, they were off. And, it just wasn't a Swans effort, you know. And once again, they started slow. So they've got to be in the matches early because it's just too hard to chase down. I know they've got lots of young players coming through, but if they can rectify that part of their game, we know they're a very good side. We expect them to play finals. But if they can fix those little areas, we expect them to be, you know, possibly a top four contender. But, you know, Gold Coast are not as bad as everyone thinks. And they do have their moments when they really switch on and run and get their confidence up. And they obviously did that by starting well against the Swans.
Great to see Dusty back on the weekend.
Yeah, it was awesome. Kicked two and had over 20 touches and the crowd was up and about. And I thought it was going to have a real impact on the side against the Pies, even though the supporters are always tough every time you come up against Collingwood. But, you know, the Richmond Army, they loved it. So it was good to see him out running around. And, you know, when he gets that ball in the forward line, he just doesn't miss. And I tell you what, his mate, Shai Bolton, the one I told you about last week, he had another ripping game. And I've had a look at the Brownlow odds. And Paddy Cripps, he's favourite at $2.60, which is fair enough. He's having a great season. But Lachie Neal, Christian Petracca, and also Clayton Oliver, you know, they're about $6, $7, $8. But Shai Bolton, He's $67. And Dustin Martin's been out of that side. They say it's a midfielder's award, which I agree with. And I reckon he's been getting plenty of votes. So he, for me, is $67. He shouldn't be $67. He should be maybe $15 to $20. Mm. So I like those odds. So probably worth having something on to sit back and see whether or not he can get a few votes in the second half of the year.
On that tab, Applause. Get on quickly.
I think I might. I think I might.
Now, this situation at Collingwood, and I know it's a long, convoluted, sensitive story, but it's been in the headlines all week. Heretier Lumumba, and I saw him and Nathan Buckley even sort of having a crack at each other, or, you know, having a discussion on social media the other day. Probably the worst place for them to air this sort of stuff. But this stretches back to what the days of even when Eddie Maguire made the comment about Adam Goods on radio back in 2013. But how much damage is this doing not only to Collingwood but to the AFL?
It's tough because it keeps dragging on. And like Heretier Lumumba, used to be known as Harry O'Brien. Mm. And then obviously Nathan Buckley. Nathan thought that they'd addressed it and they were being very open and honest and out and confronted, you know, and had these discussions and had these personal discussions behind closed doors as well, even during, you know, that time. And then for it to keep sort of popping up, you know, it's become a real issue. And it's hard for Collingwood because it's a new Collingwood too. So it's got new presidents and new coaches, Craig McRae, new players, and and it just lingers and drags the club's name through, you know, through the media. But then also with Heretier, you know, he's obviously got issues where he wants them dealt with. He wants someone to be accountable for all this, someone to pay. So yeah, hopefully they can find a way to just stop it all together and shake hands, hug each other. Like, but the thing with Nathan Buckley as a coach, he'll have those hard conversations with you and he'll tell you exactly what he thinks and what's going through his head at the time. And that's not being trying to be disrespectful. That's just trying to be open and honest of where he sees things. But I think as a coach also, you've got the blinkers on and, you know, you're fighting other battles as well and you're under enormous pressure. So you don't always see it like you do when you step out into the big wide world once you walk away from, you know, the crazy world that can be very consuming, the AFL world, very much like the cricket world, the NRL world. Mm. You know, you do think and operate very different once you step away from it. So, yeah, hopefully they can find a way, but it's not great. And even like Ed, you know, Ed has really good intentions to you know, try and fix things and patch over things. But, you know, even when they announced, you know, it's the proudest day in Collingwood's history because we're addressing this, it just wasn't worded right. You know, the intentions were right, but it wasn't worded right. And it's unfortunately been it's just snowballed into a pretty significant from there.
Now back on the park and Carlton, they play GWS this week. GWS were poor against Geelong. The Giants are $1.77, Carlton $2.05. And I guess the reason why GWS are probably favourites is the fact that Harry Mackay, the Coleman medalist, he's out for what, 6 weeks?
Yeah, so he's out with a bit of a knee injury. But that's okay. They've got Charlie Curnow. Charlie Curnow's sitting second in the Coleman medal at the moment. He's kicked, I think, around 25 goals. Tom Lynch is leading. He's kicked 27. Tom Lynch is $3.50 to win the whole thing. But 3 or 4 weeks ago, you could have got Tom Lynch at about $20 because he just wasn't in form. He wasn't kicking goals. Whereas Charlie Curnow now becomes that focal point for the Blues. And, you know, they'll obviously push a bit more football through him because when Carlton are playing Harry Mackay and also Charlie Curnow, they've got two options. Whereas now, you know, Charlie, he's had a long-term injury. He's come back and he's really hit some form. So he's about $6 or $7 to win the Coleman medal. And that might be a good little play. Look, I think the odds are wrong with the Blues and the Giants. I think the Blues should be favourite, really. So that's probably that's probably the way to play. It just depends on which Giants turn up. But then the Blues midfield's very strong and really firing at the moment with Paddy Cripps leading the way.
What about Collingwood and the Bulldogs? Geez, they've had an ordinary start to the year, the Bulldogs, Crawf.
Yeah, as I keep saying, you can't trust the Bulldogs. You don't know. Collingwood were a bit disappointing last week. I expect the Bulldogs to win this. You know, it's just one of those games where they've got to keep in touch, and I think they'll find a way to win. And I think Marcus Bontempelli, he comes back in, so he's a real leader, kicks goals, and he'll get them fired up. But, hey, what are you thinking about North Melbourne at the moment and David Noble, who's been confident from everyone because he was too tough on some of his younger players in round three? He had a real crack at them after the game. It was alleged that one or two were really upset and in tears, you know, and it really affected the group. So what are we thinking about this harsh feedback in today's society?
The problem is, Crawford, you've been there, mate. I've copped a massive spray off the coach. And rightly so. Exactly right. And whether it's on field, off field, you get it at some stage throughout your career. And I think you sit back and learn from it, don't you? You don't whinge and carry on. You go, oh, righto, it's deserving. And in away we go. You know, at the time you're going, oh, geez, that's pretty confronting. But all the sides and the good sides that I'd played with in that Raiders era, through Tim Sheens and Wayne Bennett and, you know, the leadership with Mal and all those guys, mate, they'd say things to you that you didn't want to hear, but you had to hear them.
Mate, yeah, you play a shot on the field and you would know you don't go into that change room. Walk the other way. You're not walking into the change room and see Steve Waugh, Ricky Potter. Mate,
it's professional
sport.
Let
you in the change room. You made such a bad mistake. Yeah. You can only imagine what's coming your way when you get in there.
But I guess, like, wrapping up not only that Nathan Buckley stuff and this incident with David Noble, I think we've spoken, Loz, that the day is probably going to come where you will see a professional coach sued over this sort of stuff.
Something it said at halftime.
Yep.
You bullied them in the workplace or something like that.
Yep. Very world.
When, I mean, the day's coming, isn't it?
Yeah. I can see it happening.
Which is ridiculous.
Just as I was finishing, it was all sort of changing, you know, and I still was, I had Alistair Clarkson as my coach. So, but it got to a stage, and obviously I'd been through the older days where, you know, you just had to cough it. And even when it wasn't you, you just cough it. But it was all about, okay, the younger generation, how would you like your feedback? And so they were actually getting to say, oh, listen, please don't do it in front of the group and please, you know, do it this way and so forth. So it's definitely changed. But I'll tell you what, like, if my mum didn't give me a rocket and, you know, and fire me up at times, you know, God knows where I would have been. And what about this one? Dustin Fletcher, Essendon champion, he told me a story one day that they played the Swans and Essendon got smashed. And so Kevin Sheedy, he ripped into everyone after the game and he just tore shreds off everyone. Individually went through everyone and spent 5 minutes on just the deficiencies and what they were doing wrong. And then he got to Stephen Alessio and he ripped into him the biggest and said, mate, you've got to start the game better. You're the ruckman. You've got to lead the way. And anyway, they walk out of the room and Stephen Alessio's like, that's unbelievable because I didn't even play. He was so he didn't even play the game, but he got the
still got to serve.
Yeah, awesome.
How good.
Well, Crawf, better leave it there. Oh, no, you got one.
Mate,
loss.
How's your horses going this weekend, by the way?
But I tell you what, the racing league's flying.
Lethal Thoughts?
Well, Lethal Thoughts, Kira Maher's got it. It's had one start for one win. It's going to be heading to town. But I tell you what, there's a horse, Luna Rocks, that Laurie got under his wing, and it's flying. It might win $1 million race.
Yeah, she's running on Saturday. Mm. So we got fingers crossed. She won really well at the last start. She's a little bit green. She'll be better at the next preparation.
So you got your fingers crossed, or are we backing it?
It's been back, Crawf. I think she'll run well.
With anyone, well, and you've already backed
her. Well, I'll tell you this. Richard is saying that she's spot on. That's all I'm telling you. He thinks that she's spot on. and she's got a real lot of growth to be had, and she'll, in her next preparation, she'll be a lot better, but she is a filly that's very, very good.
$4.60.
I'll give you one to keep an eye on too that Mick Price has got for the racing week, Eureka Storm. It'll be racing in a couple of weeks. Save your money up.
Beautiful.
Save your money up.
Oh, righto, I'll take Storm. You on.
Keep an eye out. Black He's book it. Yep. Thank you, Crawf.
Get on. No worries. I'm just going to... I'm going to see Steve Alessio. Steve, he's okay.
Still scarred.
See you later, mate.
See you, mate. Brad Davidson, morning to you, mate.
Yeah, morning, Jared. Morning, everyone.
Now, Marzu's locked in to the Tab Everest for the next 2 years. How surprised were you about that? I suppose this year, not a surprise, but to lock it in for two.
Yeah, not a deal we're used to seeing, is it, with the Everest? But, yeah, definitely a new thing there with the next 2 years. Probably not so surprised, Jared. I mean, he is the sort of up-and-coming sprinter, isn't he, the way he sort of leapt through the ranks the last few months. And I suppose, you know, I'm pretty sure they would have had a few different slot owners calling them and had a few different options. So maybe this was the way to really swing them and say, look, we'll lock in for the next 2 years. That's what Arrowfield and the Star have done together there. And, and you know, it's a pretty hard deal to ignore if you guarantee to start in a rich race like that there for the next 2 years. So we'll obviously get to see him in the Doomben 10,000 this weekend. He's still got to prove that he's up to the top of them. I mean, at the end of the day, that the 10,000 is not going to be the strongest race either, with a few falling by the wayside in recent weeks. So you know, you'd want him to come out and win pretty impressively there. But look, I think it's fair to say he hasn't beaten much at all to date, and his time suggests that he's probably around maybe eighth, ninth best sprinter in the land at this stage. But, you know, he's obviously got the upside and whatnot, and we'll see how far he can go in the next 3 to 6 months. So it's a gamble that could well pay dividends if he continues to improve, but it's a gamble that may also not if he's kind of found his mark and can't keep continuing to go to that next level.
Davo, what's your opinion on this Michael Poy suspension? Do you think the 2 month ban is fair?
Clarky, I think it's probably a little bit over the top. Personally, I mean, you know, let's be honest, he's learned his lesson before even the suspension goes past. And I agree that you've got to suspend a jockey because you've got to protect the punting public, you've got to protect the owners, the trainer, you know, everyone who was involved with the horse. That, you know, the trainers came out and said they had this horse cherry ripe and they thought it was a really winnable race, and this horse is pretty limited and doesn't get many chances in those types of races. So with all that in mind, yes, you've got to hand a ban down. I'm thinking 4 to 6 weeks is probably the right ban. Like I said, I think that jockey's going to learn his lesson regardless of the ban, and 2 months, some would argue that's fair, but I think probably a little bit over the top, 4 to 6 weeks for me.
We're off to Scone today. Davo, what have you made of the Scone Carnival, or the fields at the Scone Carnival, I should say?
Yeah, well, Loz, one thing I do when I start doing the form for Saturday is I always, on a Wednesday, always tackle the races that have got the smallest fields to start with, just so I feel like I'm getting a bit of a head start and I can feel good on a Wednesday night doing, you know, 3 or 4 races and then tackle the bigger fields on Thursday morning. Well, this week I went through every race and went, where am I going to start? Because they're all massive fields, and took me about half an hour to decide which race to start. So that just goes to show the numbers that have held up there. I think a lot of stables, you know, really keen to get back onto a much better deck. We saw better decks at Hawkesbury and Gosford the last few weeks, but this should be even better if the rain stays away. So I know we're only just into that soft range at the moment. So, yep, lot really keen to make their way out to Scone for the carnival, and Big Fields is definitely going to be part of it.
Have you got to race 6 at Scone on Saturday yet? Because Nutter Day asks, if there's any chance, can you ask Brad what he thinks about Stella Magic, which is the Steve O'Day, Matt Hoisted horse to be ridden by Jason Collett with a soft gate?
I haven't. That's one race I haven't got to yet. I'm only 3 or 4 races down, but I'll give a comment on that tomorrow. I'll do that tomorrow.
Beautiful. Thanks, mate. And also, Doomben 10,000, what do you make of the switch to Eagle Farm?
Yeah, I think it's smart, guys. You know, I think you've got to be proactive in this day and age. You could sit there and sort of hope that the weather's going to be okay for the rest of the week, or you can just make the call and give everyone that bit of certainty. So we know, you know, for all of Eagle Farm's problems in the past, we know how well it does cope with weather. And at the end of the day, I think everyone, if they're given that notice, is happy, you know, going to be pretty happy with the switch, and bring it on. Bring on Doomben 10,000 Day at Eagle Farm this weekend.
Looking forward to getting all your mail tomorrow, Brad. Thanks so much.
forward to it. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
The Racing League deliver Australia's best ownership experience with their horses currently boasting a 31% winning strike rate. Emerging two-year-old Luna Rocks looks to be special, bolting in last start in town and now on the way to the listed Woodlands Classic at the Scone Standalone. And you can still own your share of Luna Rocks. Just go to trl.net. And he combines with the New South Wales Tycoon 7 horse racing team for just $260. Own today and join the winners at trl.net. By the way, we've had, I think Andy from Bathurst, I think it is text in multiple times this week, even before you know, the final field and barriers were declared for the Scone Cup, and just demanding a tip. Well, I've got one for you, Andy, courtesy of our esteemed producer, Tom. Who, when he sends out, he sends us a note every night, the night before the show.
And can you just fill in the background of Tom? Tom's only been here, what?
Three weeks? Five weeks.
Oh,
how good are we going?
3 weeks. It all blends into one. But he's been here 5 weeks. So yeah. We don't really know Tommy that well.
Well,
you know, just getting to know what he's like.
Well, he's last night sent us a note, and at the end of it, also, I'm declaring Dr. Drill in the Scone Cup.
Love it.
Declaring.
Declared.
Love his confidence. I love that. Good on you, Tommy. Put him out there. Yeah. See, that's what we're after. You're a bit more of that. That's what you used to be like, Daly.
I know.
When I first started on this show, that's what you used to be like. Now, just the confidence. I would never doubt you, but I'd like you to not doubt yourself. I'd like you to stick them on there or out there like
it's,
Tommy
it's
does.
It's always hard. It's a bit like a boxer.
You just keep
going
hit.
Into a fight and
your nose has been
in the prep leading in, you know, all those the ring hours that you have to do and the boxer just punches you and just
bashed.
Hits you. Yeah. And you go, well, I'm not fighting you. You're already here to help me train.
Yeah.
But I've been copying a few. I want to get into the ring and just attack.
So Tommy hasn't been hit yet.
No.
So that's why he's putting him
it's
out
It's just
there.
A free hit for Tom.
Love it.
Just throw it out there and away it goes.
Why not?
And I'll tell you
declaring.
What, he'll have beginner's luck.
Hope so.
You know, he was never didn't know much about horses before he started here, Tom. Now he's declaring horses.
Sure that makes
that?
Two of us.
Yeah.
I knew nothing about him. I bought one.
Yeah. Knew nothing.
Yes. I got a trial coming up.
Oh, are you kidding?
Yeah. No, I'm not telling you now. Leave it till tomorrow. Tomorrow's a horse day. Today's a footy day. Tomorrow I'll tell you more.
Oh,
I've got a trial coming up.
What a tease.
Yes.
Is it trialing tomorrow, though?
It's not trialing
okay,
tomorrow,
that's
no.
That's okay, then.
No,
so
early
to,
June.
Need to be prepared. Do some stretches. Oh, by the way, if you're just
June,
tuning in,
oh,
earlier this morning, Clarkie gave us the revelation that Aleem Dar, the umpire,
Matt,
used
come
to
the
just,
nets.
There he is. He's walking past the Aussie. Firstly, by the way, the umpires would do laps around the field in preparation for the day.
Some umpires think they've got to do a warm-up. So they'd run laps and do push-ups before
incredible.
You go and umpire a test match. And I'd used to say to them, I don't understand. You've got to walk from one place to the other and stick your finger up. What are you doing warm up for, you idiot?
Has an umpire ever done a hamstring?
Who knows? Probably.
How are you going to
why are you
exert
running laps?
Yourself?
Yeah. Why are you doing push-ups? Do a couple of bicep curls. You just got to stick your finger up. A couple of shoulder presses.
Probably need a rubber band to tie between two fingers and just sort of try and stretch it. So,
well, Billy Bowden. Billy Bowden couldn't get his
finger exercise.
He had the crooked finger.
Billy couldn't straighten it. But
Clarkie was telling us how, you know, the Aussies would be in the nets. Probably just outside the ground usually because the umpire would be walking in, I don't know, the day before the game or whatever.
Training, 3 days before the game, the umpires would come down and want to do some, they'd want to practice umpiring, whether they're looking at the bowl the ball, checking no ball front foots, whatever it was. So they'd come and umpire. They would stand where the umpire would stand in a game at training.
Right.
So that's a cricket.
Three umpires, though, right?
That's someone who loves it.
Like a centre wicket practice,
no,
would it be?
No, in the nets.
In the nets.
So generally, you got three nets.
Yeah.
So the three umpires, the two on field and the third umpire, they come down, say hello to everyone, and that umpire, the training.
Right. But Aleem Dar got a bit enthusiastic.
Well, Aleem used to do it for like, I don't know, 30 seconds, and then he'd just pick up a ball and just start bowling to you. And I was captain, I'd say, Aleem, listen, at least go and bowl in the spinner's net. Oh, these are fast bowlers bowling here only. Get out of the way, go and bowl in the spinner's net.
Did you get anyone out?
Mate, he used to take it so serious. Appeal for LBWs.
Oh, I love it.
Aleem loved it.
Umpires got any personality?
Yes.
They have.
There's a couple that think they're school teachers.
You're judgmental.
But the rest are brilliant.
Mate, they seem boring.
Nah, some of them are unreal.
They seem, like, if you're going to stand out in the middle of an oval and just watch six balls, head down, head up, head down, head up, and then just walk down
Tell me what you do when you're fielding the other as well. End.
then turn around and then watch the next six balls.
Give
and
it
then
out.
Count. Yeah. One.
Clicker.
Two.
Yep. Over.
Like, I'd lose concentration. I'd be looking at the crowd.
Generally, a lot of them are past
players.
I'd
be floating. Yeah. I couldn't actually stand there and concentrate.
A lot of them are past
players.
That's
why you're not an umpire.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Yeah. But they just strike me as being boring.
Nah, a lot of them are past players. They just love the game. So poor rifle.
I can't see them sort of, you know, at a nightclub.
Rocking it.
Yeah, you know, cutting a few shapes on the floor. I just see them as people.
Let me tell you right now, as you know, Laurie Daly.
It's the surprising ones.
The surprising ones.
Exactly. Mm. Do Isn't not judge so a book right? by its cover.
The ones that are unsuspecting, they're usually the worst.
Squeaky clean, I don't think so. Yeah, no such thing.
You're right.
No such thing. But generally, I think umpires are judged a lot like referees. Yeah. The assumption that they're straighty 180s, but you do have to be a cricket tragic to umpire. Certainly a test match.
Yeah, test matches and doing it all around the world.
Mate, but the whole warm-up, you're taking it a bit serious if you're doing a warm-up to be an umpire. Like, chill out, mate. Yeah. You're just putting your finger up or saying not out.
Some referees that go out to warm up and they take a footy out with them and they chip and chase.
Yeah, what's that?
what's going on there?
Hot shower. Hot shower, you warm. That's it. Put your gear on and off you go. Yeah. Like umpire wearing spikes. What, mate, why are you wearing spikes? You're just going to stand there. You're not bowling. You're not coming down the wicket to hit a spinner for four. You're just standing there. Just put your trainers on.
I've got one for you. And this is a serious question. Mm-hmm. Do they wear a protector?
No. An umpire? No. It's a fair call, though. Because you see them wear...
You're laughing, and I was
some umpires... There's a couple of umpires. I won't say majority. There's a couple of umpires. One umpire's in a helmet. So wears a helmet when he's at the non-striker's end.
Yeah.
And there's another Australian umpire that wears like a big arm guard, big plastic shield on his arm. So if the ball does come back at you, you've got some sort of protection there. So more and more with 2020 cricket.
Yep. They're doing it. You'll see that at some stage in test.
I would imagine, again, to me, head and protector, no-brainer.
Good morning, Mossy.
Oh, good morning.
Umpire Mossy, actually.
You'd be an umpire, Mossy.
Mossy's one of those blokes, though, mate. You get hit on the pad, you might as well walk off. Yeah. He'll give you out every time. Yeah, gone.
Yeah, well,
gone.
I'm actually reading, I was just looking for it then. The name completely escapes me, but it's Simon Torfall's book.
Simon Torfall,
Have you read
Great
that book?
Bloke. I haven't read his book. I know Simon very well. One of the best umpires that I certainly was lucky enough to play with. And now I think he's actually got a job with the ICC. I actually think he's in charge of all the umpires. But again, Simon's greatest strength, apart from he was very good at his job, he communicated really well with the players. He wasn't the school teacher. He was like you talk about Harrigan, Bill Harrigan, exactly the same. He read the game. He knew the game. He made mistakes. You accepted it because of the way he treated you. He's just a great bloke.
His attention to detail his preparation as an umpire for games would blow most players out of the water.
Yeah. Well, I think Simon probably started the fitness side of things when it comes to umpiring through my career. He was like, Simon's fit, strong, and he would, you know, he'd go to the gym and he would train. He took it that serious, yeah.
So not Peter Parker, I think
not
it was.
Porky Parker, nope.
Peter Parker, yeah.
Matthew Hayden special. Didn't play LB when Haydos played.
Right.
Porky, we used to say. Any Queens that get hit on the pad, it was different rules to the New South Welshman.
We better talk some football, though, Mossy. That's why we have you on.
Let's do that.
Mossy will talk cricket all day. Don't worry about that.
Ange Postecoglou has officially won the Scottish Premiership. How significant is this for an Australian coach to be winning this?
It's hard to put it into words, to be honest, Mido. It is that big an achievement. And, you know, people always, you know, point to the Scottish Premier League not being the greatest competition in the world. And there's an argument there. But the two biggest clubs in the league are a league unto their own. And to turn around by, I think it's 34 or 36 points from last season, they lost the league to Rangers by 25 points last season. Yeah, wow. He inherited the worst squad in Celtic's last 30 years. Had to do a major overhaul, first European gig, thrown into the Champions League, and he's come out on top. And it's just, you really can't do it justice with words. But what it does do is it proves that Aussies can actually coach on the world stage and in the big leagues or the big football countries. And you don't have to have had a high-profile playing career in Europe to do it. And I think that's the breakthrough that Ange's made for a lot of Aussie coaches with ambitions to coach overseas. Brilliant, brilliant moment.
Good result for Man City this morning, though, Mossy, against Wolves.
Yeah, it was a statement. It was a statement win-loss because obviously Liverpool had played yesterday. They just got the result, did what they had to do. But then you go to Wolves and you smash them 5-1. That's definitely Manchester City saying it's ours to lose. And that was a huge win. Wolves is not an easy place to go, the mind you. And, you know, they're a bit inconsistent, Wolves, but there's certainly no pushovers, especially at home. And Man City went there and put 5 on them. So stake in the sand, I think, again, as this league climaxes.
By the way, Erling Haaland, just before we leave Manchester City, Mossy, how significant is that signing from Borussia Dortmund? The Norwegian striker, he is... I saw some commentators this week saying he's basically the next coming of Messi and Ronaldo, which is obviously an enormous call. But how talented is he from what you have seen?
Well, he's fantastic. His goal-scoring record in Germany has been phenomenal. I won't rattle off the numbers because I saw it a couple of weeks ago, so I don't want to get them wrong. But ridiculous goal-to-game ratio, goal-to-minutes ratio that he's got, and he's still very young. Born in Leeds, which is interesting. Doing a bit of reading on him during the week. I didn't know that. But he's got some English heritage there. But I think it's a huge signing. But Manchester City's problem is not scoring goals. So this will add more goals. And, of course, the more goals you score, the more games you win, of course. But the European Champions League is their holy grail. And I think that's where he really comes into his own. And he scored a lot of goals in the Champions League. And he'll definitely add to Pep Guardiola's squad in a big, big way. But I just think when they get to the pointy end of the Champions League, it's more, and I know this sounds really harsh, but I think it's more on the manager than it is on the players that are out there. He just seems to make some decisions. Like last week, you know, where they're 1-0 up and he makes a few substitutions that were questionable. And that seems to happen year in, year out at the moment. So a huge signing nonetheless.
What about in the A-League finals, buddy? What can we expect?
Well, this weekend, Melbourne City and Melbourne Victory get the weekend off, and you've got Western United hosting Wellington. I think Western United will get that done at home, although Wellington have been fantastic with everything they've had to go through this season, Clarkey. And the other one's Adelaide hosting the Mariners. Now, I think this will go down to the wire, this one. It's hard to split these two. No one will probably want to face the Mariners, but Adelaide get them at home. And I think that'll be a draw over 90 minutes. That's part of my multi, and I think Adelaide will just pit them at the post in extra time or penalties.
Have you got a multi for us?
Of course I've got a multi for you, Mido. I'd be sacked from my segment if I didn't have a multi for you.
Well, I'd defend you, though. Yeah. Daily and throw you under the bus, but I'd defend you.
Like you did last week with the other bloke on the segment.
I'm glad, Mossy, you heard that. Yeah. I'm glad that you heard that segment.
Well, what did I do? I called
you. You're supposed to be Mr. Nice Guy. Yeah. We all know what you're like behind people's backs.
Just threw that bait out there nicely, didn't he, Mossy? Well,
what did I do?
Poking the bear.
Yeah.
Mr. Sneaky.
I called him you. How do you reckon that went down?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's called poking the bear. Anyway,
all right, what do you got?
I've got Spurs to beat Arsenal in that massive North London derby tomorrow, into Liverpool to win the FA Cup final on Saturday night. No surprises there over Chelsea. Massive game, that. Into West United to win in normal time. And then that 90-minute draw, Adelaide into the Mariners.
Okay, I haven't got a price here, but you've got Tottenham into Liverpool into Western United, 90 minutes into, what was the last one?
Adelaide Mariners draw in 90 minutes.
Ah, okay, interesting. Okay,
you're
there you go.
Talking around about the $28 mark, mate.
Right, okay, beautiful.
If that gets up, I'll be royalty.
Yes, that's statue-like. Thank you so much, mate.
Good on you guys. Take care.
Now, the long and esteemed career of Brian Wood is being celebrated with a retirement dinner in Cabramatta later this month. Wood's 66-year riding career included winning the 1975 Queen Elizabeth Stakes on Kiwi mare Jandell And for the past 20 years, he's been riding track work 6 days a week. There will be a banquet dinner at the Iron Chef, the Chinese restaurant.
I know the Iron Chef, Middo. I spent a bit of time at the Iron Chef back in the day. My mum used to work in the Commonwealth Bank at Cabramatta. I reckon 30 years she worked there as a teller. We used to duck down to the Iron Chef in the heyday. Chinese restaurant. Good feed.
Right.
Good feed. Cabramatta.
I haven't been to Cabramatta.
I haven't been there for a while.
Yeah, no, yep. I haven't been out there. But so your mum worked at the bank there?
Mm-hmm. 30 years.
Wow.
Bank teller. She knows how to count a cash. My old girl, don't know about that.
I was going to say, very good with the cash. Mm. 30 years in a bank.
Oh, yep.
Probably a sensitive question. Ever get held up?
Yes. True story. Mm. My mum's bank got held up twice. Yes.
Twice.
Yes. You're right. She still didn't leave. I'm like, Mum, time to go.
Sort of half joking.
True story.
To her, or she just had to jump on the floor?
Once she was in the bank at the time, second time she was involved. Mm.
Wow, how'd she end that?
No. Petrified.
Yeah.
Petrified.
Yeah, that's horrendous. Yeah,
not fun.
I got held up. Well, I didn't get held up, but I was in a restaurant one night.
That got held up.
What's the one on Norton Street there in Leichhardt?
Mate, take your pitch.
No, like, as you turn off to the left. Guess,
not the Wayne Bennett restaurant.
Yes. Yeah, what's that called?
Oh.
It's a famous one.
Yeah.
The listeners will be all over it.
Oh, what is that called?
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever that restaurant is,
held up.
I was there one night and got held up. I was on the floor and I was
petrified.
Oh, what's going on? Well, he was walking past me.
Yeah, no thanks. Yeah. Seen in the movie. It's scary enough in the movie.
Imagine you.
Loz trying to trip him over. Loz goes the ankle tap.
No, not when he had a gun.
No.
I was a coward.
Yeah, fair enough too.
Anyway, said head down.
Brian Wood's career celebrated his retirement dinner there at the Iron Chef in Cabramatta. Sunday, May 29 it is. So you can just contact Michelle Connors to book. For more information, call 0419-609-094 or MM Connors, that's Connors with an ERS, not an ORS, MM Connors at bigpond.com.au. Loz, go for it.
Yeah, they've just texted in Grappa.
Grappa.
That's the one. That's the one. Thank you. No name on that, but that's exactly the rest.
Yeah, where all the straight and narrow people will obviously go and have their meals, Loz. What did you have that night?
A bit of pasta, I think. Yeah. I can't even remember.
Carb load, for sure.
Dave would have been training. Early morning to you.
Hey boys, how are we all this morning?
Oh,
dear.
We're well, good, mate.
Off, big Thursday.
Blocker was on fire.
Yes, we'll hear some Blocker later on Sky Sports Radio. We usually run through his tips after 12 o'clock, so he was tipping up a storm.
Yeah, he certainly was.
Yeah, back to Tigers. I'm talking to him this week. Back to Tigers.
What are we, boys, just on that magic round? I know we've got Racing HQ coming up, but gee, it looks hard to do your footy picks.
Yeah, there's a lot of tight games this weekend, DS.
My tips have been embarrassing, DS. I've been horrible all season so far. Like, I think the worst I've ever been.
Really?
Yeah. I haven't
kept an eye on them.
Surprised, boys, by Dragons Gold Coast? Do you think the Gold Coast should be favourites?
Absolute coin flip.
Yeah, it's good. No, the Titans have been awful.
Dragons have got them.
Oh, gee. I hope so, pup.
I'm confident. Dragons have got them.
Well, are you starting to get a little bit concerned about the
Titans?
Well, that's not good if you're a Dragons fan.
Not concerned, but I'm surprised they're not favourites, the Gold Coast.
You reckon Penrith just beat Storm?
I hope not. I hope the Storm give them a touch-up.
Ooh. What about Roosters? Roosters.
Well, tell me, boys. I think it's better for the comp.
What? If the Storm win
the game. Melbourne coming first at the moment.
I think it's better for the comp because you talk to a lot of Penrith, and I'd be the same. If the Dragons were playing like Penrith do, I would be up and about. We'd be, wearing the jerseys.
I see what you get. You just want to keep them level-headed.
They just lost, so Parra just beat them, but they come back
and you win, and then things start to roll, and you build up that getting to the grand final. We're just going to win.
So now what's the talk? If they lose two in a row, what's the chat then? Oh, they lost their mojo.
Ivan's in trouble.
Yeah.
Buzz will be on Monday morning. Oh, Ivan, there's drama.
New coach. Son and dad fighting.
I only say that because I've got a couple of mates who are Penrith supporters, and gee, they're up and about. And of course, we had that market out about, when will they lose a match? And usually that's the kiss of death with the tab.
Bulldog tried to say they'll best team of the generation or something, didn't he, the other day? What was he talking about, Bulldog?
Yeah. The Bulldog.
Team of the generation. What's he talking about?
Dennis.
He's a bit bruised, the Bullfrog. He's a bit bruised.
He's a good man. Hey, boys, what about this lineup for HQ? Now, I know you guys are trying to find some mail for Scone. Mm. James Cummings is going to join us very soon. We've got Will Friedman, James McDonald, Tony Gollan, Todd Smart, and we've also got Joe O'Gorman. Big news with Marzu being locked in by the Arrowfield Star team for the Everest for the next two seasons or two events. So that's huge news. And Joe O'Gorman's from Parsons Creek. They bred Marzu, and we'll have a good chat with the guys there. And great news. But I reckon we're going to find some winners today, boys.
And we had Tom, our producer, fledgling producer here, who was declared.
Yes,
Dr.
I saw
Drew,
that.
Declared.
I'll so tell there you what, go. He'll either... It could be a defining moment in Tom's early producing career.
In his life,
if he gets Dr. Drill up, if he gets Dr. Drill up, expect more declarations. I learnt this early doors with the BSB. You come on there and you tip Loz, tip TK, tip yourself, winners or losers. It's playing with fire.
Make or break you, Dave. Doesn't it?
It is make or break. Yeah. It is make or break.
And if Dr. Drill doesn't win, what are you blokes going to do to him?
We'll hammer him on.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm saying courageous anyway for having a crack.
Hammer him.
I'm with you, Tommy boy. Courage.
He'll be having.
He cops it all right.
He does. He's a good man.